Love that Old Testament. I wonder where Brother Danny is today in Mexico. Love that Old Testament. Brother loves the Old Testament. And like Brother Kincaid said this morning, in order to get the text, I'd like to start at the very beginning of the chapter. And we'll read through verse 40. We'll read 40 verses. And this is what it says. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we may not lose all the beasts. So they divided the land between them and passed through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, Why have I sinned? What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Now thou sayest, Behold, go tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. So when I am come to tell Ahab, when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told unto my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid an hundred men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day. So Obadiah went to meet with Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And Elijah said unto the people, I only remain of a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And the calf, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancelets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in the altar, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood. and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran down about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slain them there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all of it. Lord, by your help, I hope not to go beyond this text. And God, I hope that you help me not to fall short of it. May the words that I preach be your words, and may you suit them to the needs of each heart here today. Father, I pray that you'd give me the words to speak and the freedom and the openness to speak that your Spirit can give, Father, that hearts might be convicted, sinners might be saved, and Christians led to you. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the New Testament, we find set forth a great principle in that it states that the things which were written before were given to us for our learning, for our instruction. And thereby we learn that there are certain things in the Old Testament that stand out as a symbol, as a sign to us as Christians, that we can learn from. And I believe there's a good deal to be learned in this chapter. And I love an expository sermon, and I don't preach an expository sermon very often. I preach topical more than expository. When you preach expository, I guess you want to fit everything in from the chapter, and there's so much that you want to put in there that you just can't. But I want to dwell mainly today on the altar, the sacrifice, and the fire, on those three things mainly. Now, the people in here can be typed like this, and this is how I have them typed. Ahab is a type of the corrupt world system. He's the leader and the king of Israel at the time. However, he's joined himself to Jezebel, who is a type of not only false religion, but bad doctrine. Not only is she a false religion, but she appears like the Jewish religion. This is why the Jews hated the Samaritans. It started here in the city of Samaria, as you read back in the context of chapter 2 earlier. And very slowly they worked their Baal religion in with the Christian religion. They came out with this mixed mongrel religion. And this is what was called Jezebel. This is what Jezebel did. She represents bad religion, bad doctrine. Elijah, of course, is the man of God. The people can be typed either as lost or saved, depending on how you look at it. But this is what it says. And I'd like to look here at verse 30. Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now, what is an altar for? An altar is a flat surface kind of like this, upon which something is offered. An altar exists for the sole purpose of a sacrifice.
That's right. Amen.
The only purpose that an altar exists for is to kill something. It exists to offer something to a god. That is the only reason. Now, there's a problem that we find that the children of Israel have and that we find that we as Christians have. More often than that, the altar is misused, and it can be used. The Bible used the word profane. This is where we get our idea of profane language. It has to do with irreverence and irrespect to something religious and something holy. And it's profane by offering a polluted sacrifice or offering a sacrifice intended for one god in the name of another. And this profanes the altar. But more often than that, the altar is neglected. More often than that, the altar is neglected. It's ignored. The sacrifices aren't offered when they ought to be. They aren't offered how they ought to be. They aren't offered as often as they ought to be. So this is what happens. We find time and time again in repeated succession, one right after another, the children of Israel, every time they come back to God like they did when they first got the tabernacle, and they offer the offerings right on schedule, right on time, and then they... And slowly they get used to the blessings of God, and they begin to ignore that altar and to walk away and follow other gods. And then we find again someone repairs the altar of the Lord. And someone rears back up the altar and reestablishes the sacrifices to God. And Israel is brought back to the Lord. And just like Elijah says here, it says, verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And it comes time and time again when they have to go back to God, and God has to turn their heart back because they ignored His own. But the altar exists for the purpose of the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is purposeless and meaningless if it weren't for the altar. If it weren't for the fact that the altar was in the name of the Lord God of heaven and earth, the sacrifice would be useless. And if it weren't for the sacrifice, the altar would be useless. It would be nothing but a stone monument that had no purpose. So let's look at the sacrifice. The sacrifice in this case is a bullock. There's two of them. Notice one of them is offered to Baal and the other one is offered to God. The same offering both times. But this is what it says in verse 23. It says, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under." Now we have a different sacrifice. And if you're not saved today, if you're lost, this has an important meaning to you. Notice what they did in verse 27. We'll start verse 26. "And they took the bullock which was given them." This is the prophets of Baal. "And they called upon the name of Baal from morning to evening," or from morning even until noon. "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And it goes to that in verse 28. "They cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancelet, and blood gushed out of them." And the next verse said, nobody heard. There wasn't a voice. There wasn't even a breathe. There was no acknowledgement. And if you're lost today, you can cut yourself on an altar. You can lay yourself out and sacrifice yourself to whatever you want to. You can spend your entire life trying to do your good works and sacrifice yourself for everybody on earth. And you'll get exactly what they want. Not even a peep. God won't. He'll ignore you entirely. There won't be a peep out of God. And this is where all of Jezebel's religions have led. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, we find Jezebel again. And she's infiltrated her way into the church. She's begun to bring her doctrine in. And we find out later this is probably Rome. And they begin to bring their doctrine in. They create their Roman Catholicism. And we have something that looks exactly like Christianity almost. And if you didn't know your Bible, you'd think of that. And they offer themselves and they offer their sacrifices and they do their penance and they crawl on their knees and they cut themselves on the stones and they bleed out and it gets them nowhere. And if you're lost today, that's exactly where it'll get you. Now, there's another way to look at it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smell." There was an offering, sacrifice made for God for you and for your sins. Amen. A sacrifice you couldn't make. If you could have, he wouldn't have needed to do it. If all your cutting and bleeding and all your penance would have gotten you there, his job was useless. Right. He wasn't needed. But instead he offered himself as a sacrifice, a lamb without spot and without blemish, a sweet smelling savor to God, an accepted sacrifice that never needed to be offered again. Now where does that leave the Christian? What are your sacrifices? What is your altar? I'd like to propose to you today that your altar is your life and your sacrifice is yourself. But you don't sacrifice yourself to redeem yourself to God. You don't sacrifice yourself in order that God might find you acceptable. No, in sacrificing yourself, you're found acceptable. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, Amen. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the sacrificing of yourself, it's not a death, it's not a cutting, not a bleeding. It's a living sacrifice, a giving of yourself to Christ to do His work. Amen. This is what it says. I'd like to show you some of the other sacrifices that you go through. 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus is our high priest, even as the Jews had their high priest that went in for them once a year into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat, even so Christ is our high priest. And any sacrifice we make to God, we make by Christ.
We're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, what are spiritual sacrifices?
What are the sacrifices that we lay on the altar?
He says, he said he would dress. What are the sacrifices?
Romans 13, 1 and 2 said it was ourselves. And if so, and we need to dress the sacrifice, I wonder what we do to ourselves. I'd like to look at Malachi for a moment. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 7 says, you offered polluted bread upon the altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you alter the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? If we came as a congregation tonight before God with an altar here and had to put you on it, tell me something. Would you be lame? Would we have to carry you? Would you be sick, one that had to be pampered and always nourished and always given something? Would you be one who was well and could walk under his own power, or would you be lame? There's another thing it says there. It says, you offer polluted bread. This thing calls itself the bread. Amen. Is your doctrine pure? When you come before God, do you dress the sacrifice? Listen, when you come before God, do you have to put your own opinions in there? Or does the Word of God take it? Now, which takes supremely? Is it pure bread from the pure Word of God? When you stand up and share something in the service, is it the pure Word of God? Or are you offering a plea? When you come before God, are you lame or do you come under your own power? Does someone have to push you to church? Does someone have to always call you up on Tuesday night and remind you tomorrow night is church, or on Monday night and remind you tomorrow night is witnessing? Does someone have to call you up on Saturday night and ask you if you need a ride to church? Are you sure you don't want to go? Are you lame? Can't you make it on your own? Do you have to come to church and be fed all the time, be led along? Are you blind? It says, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Are you the one that always has to be led? Or do you ever take the lead? When you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, how is it? You know, I believe we need to dress that sacrifice. I believe there's some of us who are walking lame, and we don't need to be. And there's some of us who are blind, being unlearned in the Word of God, when by now Paul says, like Paul told the Hebrews, by now you ought to be teachers. Willingly blind, offering an impure sacrifice on the altar of our lives to God. Sick. Always need to be fed and pampered. And somebody needs to come by and hand you your little spoonful of medicine so that you can get spiritually strong enough to come to church on Wednesday and face everybody. That's the extent of the sacrifice of your life. That's the extent of yourself and your commitment to God. On the altar of your life, you've not crucified yourself. You don't count yourself crucified. You don't reckon in yourself that you were crucified 1983 years ago on a cross in Calvary. That you don't belong to yourself anymore. That you aren't your own. That you're bought with a price. You have a high priest. One you're supposed to serve. One who doesn't require your death anymore, but your life instead. Because he gave his life for you. He wants your life in exchange.
Amen.
I believe we need to dress that we need to dress that sacrifice. Amen. Elijah said he would dress that boy. He had to prepare it for the offering. He had to get it ready, make it acceptable. So when he offered it on that thing, you know something else? He didn't tell them. When they offered it on their altar to Baal, he didn't tell them to dress it. He wasn't concerned about it. He was concerned, and just like if you're unsaved today, dressing and cleaning up your life does absolutely nothing for you. Trying to make yourself a good sacrifice to God doesn't do a thing for you. He was concerned about his sacrifice, not theirs. He was concerned about the one he had to offer, not theirs. The only thing he judged about theirs was they offered, go ahead, call upon him. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. Huh? Is he a god, really? Maybe he's off on a journey somewhere. You need to wait till he gets back. Send him a postcard, maybe. Huh? He said he would dress that bull, prepare that sacrifice. How does your sacrifice stand before God today? Well, let's look at something else here. Back to the text in 1 Kings 18. When he built that altar up, he did something else. Verse 31. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar. With the stones he built an altar. Now, why do you suppose he chose 12 stones? You remember when the children of Israel were standing there, Moses was standing on the other side, and he said, you're about ready to enter now. You're about ready to cross over the Jordan. He said, so prepare yourselves and pack up everything and get ready to go. And he went up the hill and he died. And God parted the Jordan and took him across dry shod. Right. And before the priest's feet were out, he said, stop! And he made him go back. 12 big round stones. He said, pile them up right there by the riverbank. One for each tribe.
as a memorial to your people forever. And whenever your sons come along by here and say, Daddy, why are those 12 stones sitting there in that funny little pile? You tell them. That's a memorial for the day that God brought Israel through the Jordan River. After their wandering in the wilderness of sin, you tell your sons and you pass it on to them and you make them remember when God brought them through the Jordan. And Elijah does the same thing. He chooses 12 stones, one for Jacob, whom God said would be called Israel. And he puts them upon that altar. He builds an altar out of them, out of 12 stones. You see, he remembers that. You see, there's one thing that marks a man of faith. A man that steps out on the word of God is that he remembers. You suppose it took a lot of faith for Elijah to realize fire was going to come down out of heaven and consume the sacrifice? I'm not sure it did, because it's happened before. In Leviticus 9, 22 through 24, I'll read that for you real quick. You don't even have to turn there. Leviticus chapter 9. This is what it says. And Aaron lifted up the hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came fire from God, fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar and the burnt offering and the fat, when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their feet. This is a man who remembers. This is a man who builds a memorial.
I remember
that God can. He's done it before, and it's not in. He says, "I'll lay my sacrifice on that altar because I know that God will fire." So he prepares his sacrifices. He remembers. He builds an altar. He then he does something strange. This is what it says, verse 32. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed, and he put the wood in order. And he put the wood in order. This was an offering to God. It just didn't lay under there. It was put there in order. It was put there to make it. See, he was confident that the fire was going to come. So he laid that wood in order. Well, when you're going to build a fire, how do you lay the wood? Well, you lay your little dinky pieces first, and you lay the next size larger next, and you lay the wood in order. You're going to make a fire. You lay the wood in order. The fire's coming. He knows the fire's coming, so he just puts the wood in order. He just doesn't pile it underneath. He puts it in order. All right, now how does that apply to you and me? Well, you know, every time I read this Bible, I find that the wood is a symbol of our humanity, our human life. And there comes a time when you've got to lay your life in order.
That's right.
When you realize your altar is there and you're willing to give yourself up to God and you're willing to turn it over to Him and say, look, I've made a mess of it. Here it is. It's yours. Have it. And you dress it out. Then you have to. And you've got to lay that wood in order. There's some of us need to build the altar. There's some of us that need to repair that altar. You've been in the Lord 10, 15, 20 years. And you finally realize, my altar's not even ordered. I'm not even ready to offer a sacrifice. My mind's not even ready. My altar isn't even repaired. It's been ignored for so long that it's got dust on it. It's broken down. Nobody's kept it. Then you realize, I'm not a worthy sacrifice. I do my best to present myself to God. And I present myself as a living sacrifice. And then you've got to put it. And you notice when you build a fire, you start with the smallest things and you work out. You don't start with the biggest thing. You don't throw a log in the middle and try to light a match underneath of it. And you don't start with your biggest and your worst thing in your life and figure that's how you're going to attack. No, you order your life like you order the wood. From the inside out with the smallest thing. Elijah knew the fire was coming. He laid it down there, and this is what he said. And he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and filled 4 barrels with water, and put it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. Now that was faith. Now that was faith. Now he knew where the fire was, and he knew where the fire was coming from. He knew he was able to send fire. I'm not sure that required a lot of faith. Because it was written down. He knew it was going to happen. So he steps out and he says, I'll just pour a little water on the situation. For you today as his servant, that no matter what happens from this point onward, you can remember that God did it and not me. And he removes himself totally from the picture by drowning the whole thing. He drowns the whole thing out and says, there it is, I'm out. The wood's not hot. There's no possible way a spark could survive under that. There's nothing under that thing that could start it now. And then he prays, and this is what he says, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again, and the fire of the Lord fell
and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. And you remember those 12 stones that he piled on that altar?
And the stone.
And the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench and sucked the whole situation right out. And you know, it's a funny thing when you step out on faith. This chapter lays two things out that happen when you step out on faith. Number one, everything seems to go wrong. When you finally offer yourself as a sacrifice, you find that you lay it all in order, you got it all in, as pretty as a picture, and you stand back, boy, is that pretty now? Boy, am I great. And just then the fireball consumes the whole. You've worked so hard. Man, you ever cut up a bullet? Man, that's hard work. I mean, that's some tough cutting there. And he cut that thing in pieces and laid it out on the wood, and he made his wood so nice and neat, pretty, and wet the whole thing down, and he built himself a nice little altar, and it was so pretty. Steps back and says, well, in a matter of moments, the altar he had built, the wood, the sacrifice, and the water was. Paul said that the apostles had been set forth for death. And so in the same manner as a Christian, when you offer yourself as a sacrifice, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when he takes you at your word and he says, fine, you want to be a sacrifice? We'll just burn you up. We'll just burn you up. And count it a joy. James says, count it a joy when you fall in diverse temptation.
Amen.
Well, it says another thing will happen when you step out and you finally set your altar in order. When you finally set your sacrifice in your order and you lay your life out right. And you get the whole thing ready to go. There's another thing that happens. When you step out on the Word of God, the corrupt world system will say to you exactly what Ahab said to Elijah. Art thou he that troublest Israel? Art thou he? You're the one. I recognize you. I'm sure you are. I saw you last week preaching down there, causing a ruckus. People running all over, going crazy. You yelling and screaming and shooting your mouth off all over the street. You're the one who's causing all the problem. What's the matter? You don't like my music? Everybody else does. Why don't you? Why don't you, Paul? You don't want to listen to my music? I won't listen to yours either. You cause so much trouble. Everything would be so fine if you just weren't here. Notice what Elijah answered him. He answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house that have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, that's not my fault. It's you. You sorry thing. You repent of your sins and come back to God, it'll be all right. But you out there wandering off in your sins. I'm not causing trouble. You're the one who's outside of God. Here's a man who named sin for what it is.
Right.
It's not my fault. If you weren't a sinner, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I'm walking in the Word of God. I'm trying to do His will. I've offered myself as a sacrifice. Move out of my way. You know, the terrible thing I find is that I find Christians who say exactly the same. Brother, don't you think street preaching is a little bit forward? Don't you think you'd be causing the church a bit of trouble here? Don't you think that... Why do you cause... So, every time you turn around, brother, you say the stupidest things. You make more trouble than anybody in the church. Why did you have to go talk to her about that? Everybody else knew about it and kept their mouth shut. Why did you have to say something? Well, brother, every time you stand up on the Word of God and you stand out and say, look, that is sin and that's your fault, they're going to accuse you of causing trouble. There's two things that happen when you finally order your life and you step out on the Word of God and you step out by faith. The church is not going to like it 90% of the time. Or at least what calls themselves a church. The majority of Christendom. The majority of Israel didn't like it. They would rather have had rain for the year.
That's right.
They much rather would have had nice crops and good food. They much rather. Man, that guy causes so much trouble. There were, I know of 100 priests or 100 prophets who were in by 50, 51 gave and 50 another who wish he would have just kept his big mouth shut. Amen?
Right.
And that's exactly what's going to happen to you. Every time you step out and you say, wait a second, this situation isn't right. If this church is an altar offering sacrifices of praise with their lips to God, like it says in Hebrews 13, something's wrong here. The altar isn't right. Something's wrong in the church. And every time you stand up and name it, somebody's going to put you down just like they put Elijah down and say, man, why don't you shut up? Everything was going so smooth. Well, so things weren't perfect and spirit wasn't there too much. But things were going smooth at least. And then you got a cause. Well, there's the altar and the sacrifice and the fire. You ever notice that everything was ordered before the fire came? That if he never would have ordered it, the fire never came. He ordered, set everything in order. He ordered that altar. He rebuilt it. He built the altar on top. He laid the sacrifice out and ordered the wood and prayed to God and fire fell out of heaven. If you're struggling along and you can't figure out why in the world am I? Souls aren't being saved. We're working so hard. We're working over. We pray. We get together. We pray every week. Man, what is going on? The church doesn't seem to be growing. We don't seem to be going anywhere. We're not getting in what we want. We've had an offering for
for newspaper evangelism for 3 months. We asked for $15,000.
I bet you there's some wood that's just laying there in a pile. I bet you there's a sacrifice or two that needs to be dressed. You see, the prayer doesn't get answered until it's set in order first, until the sacrifice is offered. The sacrifice doesn't get offered on a broken down altar, and the fire doesn't come till the wood's laid out. When you finally decide you want that fire out of heaven, and you're willing to offer yourself a sacrifice, then you've got to prepare. You've got to set your life in order before God. You've got to order your steps. And it says the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
You've got to commit yourself to Him. Let Him order your steps. Lay your life in order. Lay yourself on the altar of God as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, not a dead one. You know, it would be so much easier if we could offer ourselves a dead sacrifice.
Really?
It really would. You know, we'd even like that. When I was at the Servicemen Center in Killeen, we found out that we could order a good movie like Sheffy. Probably one of the greatest Christian films ever produced. And a full color four hour film, beautiful, for absolutely free, and we'd get 25 people. If we sold tickets for 25 cents a piece, we'd get 200 people. And you know, if you could offer yourself today one time, pick up a knife and be assured of heaven, you'd do it. I'm convinced 9% of humanity would cut their heart out if they knew they were going to heaven. God requests a living sacrifice. He's given you by faith that you're going to heaven if you're saved. Now He wants a sacrifice that'll serve. He wants a living, not a dead one. A dead one does no good. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. When you reach that point and you've laid it out and you have everything out on the altar and the wood is in order, then when you pray, you'd better stand. Notice what Elijah did. He stood back and he says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet drew near and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I can see this prophet standing there by this fire, right near this trench right here. And he leans over and he says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he starts to pray like this. And when the fire finally falls, it takes everything. He's lucky he wasn't standing. It would have took him too. It took the stones and the dust. And I mean, when that altar was left there, the altar of the Lord that was there on Mount Carmel, there wasn't even dust on it. No dirt, no charred marks, no nothing. This was the cleanest fire you ever saw. It wiped out everything. That's exactly what I mean. But it won't happen until you order it. Until you offer yourself a sacrifice. When you order your external life, but you've got to start on the inside, just like that wood, you start on the inside. You build your fire from the inside, and you order your wood from the inside. You make sure that you're a dress sacrifice. You're not lame, you're not blind, you're not spotted, you're not perfect. You confess your sins to God that you come before Him pure. You're built up in the Word of God, you know what you're doing. You're not lame, you're not blind, you're not sick. Offer yourself on that altar and watch the fire. Let's pray. Father, I hope that this short message has accomplished your will and what you wanted it to do today, Father, and that you've addressed it to each and every heart and to each and every need, and that it was a blessing to everyone here, Father. I pray that I showed up not at all through it, and that it was entirely your word, Lord. And now as we prepare to go and prepare to separate, Lord, I pray that it would be stuck in the minds, that it would convict hearts and convict souls that they need to order their steps, Father, and order their lives and offer that sacrifice and build up the altar. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.